The reading for today is Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, and it's a great joy to be here again. When I prepared this, I didn't realise it was going to be a communion service. I should have remembered that, as it was the first Sunday. But it fits in, because this is how it all began, believe it or not. And So I'm going to take you on a very quick journey from Genesis, believe it or not, through to the New Testament. But before I do, let's bow our heads for a short prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sit around your word this morning. We thank you as we look into this passage that it shows us how the breaking of bread, communion service, or whatever we tend to call it, how it all originated. So open our ears to hear you speaking. Open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And open our hearts to proclaim your love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was here last, I took you on a journey on the road to Emmaus. And if Graham had actually booked me before I brought that sermon, I would have reversed them and done this first and then the walk to Emmaus afterwards. But the two have a great deal in common, because they're both Bible studies. Jesus is opening up the word from Genesis through to Malachi, in what must have been one of the most marvellous and wonderful Bible studies ever undertaken. And this, again, shows us how Scripture links together right from the start, right the way through into the New Testament. I keep telling people who say they don't understand the Old Testament and why we need to study it. If you don't understand the Old Testament, you can't understand the New Testament. It's as simple as that. So the Passover lamb, Exodus 12, 1 to 13. And this morning we're going to look at the story of the Passover as recorded in the book of Exodus. It's not just an ancient event in Israel's history. It points us to the plan of salvation for all humanity. It's a story that begins with God's justice and unfolds in a beautiful way through his mercy. And most importantly, it leads us directly to the cross of Jesus Christ, where our salvation was won. But let's start initially by going back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, where we see God's original design for humanity and the world. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were created to live in perfect relationship with God. God gave them everything they needed. A beautiful garden, full of trees and every kind of food to eat. But one tree was off limits. God told them, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will certainly die." Genesis 2, verse 17. This was an opportunity for Adam and Eve to trust God and to show their obedience and love by following that simple command. Yet, as we know, Adam and Eve chose to disobey. They doubted God's goodness and they gave in to temptation. As soon as they ate the fruit, they became aware of their nakedness and their shame, and they hid from God. That's Genesis 3, verses 6 to 8. Their act of disobedience is when sin entered the world, and sin isn't just a mistake or a bad choice. It's a willful rejection of what God wants us to do. Sin affects our lives and the lives of others. Sin fractures the relationship between humanity and God and damages the harmony of his creation. All sin breaks God's law and separates us from him because they fall short of the perfect standard, his holiness. God is a God of justice and takes sin seriously. So seriously that he gives a penalty for it, and that penalty is death. Physical death, but also spiritual death. In other words, eternal separation from him. But fortunately, that isn't the end of it. God is not just a God of justice. He's also a God of mercy. He seeks to forgive and cover over the sin once the penalty is paid. And because of that choice, Adam and Eve instantly entered spiritual death. But instead of immediately punishing them with physical death, we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, we see God provided Adam and Eve with garments of skin, symbolizing a covering for their shame and vulnerability. God showing grace and mercy in the face of sin and disobedience. But in order to make this clothing of skin, an animal had to die. The first recorded physical death in Scripture happened as a consequence of human sin. This event introduces the concept of substitution, a life for a life. It covers their sin, but didn't remove their sin. The animal's death was a temporary covering for their sin, a picture of the ultimate sacrifice that would come. Atonement is satisfying someone for an offence committed, and in this case, so we can have reconciliation with God. The shedding of the animal's blood for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 was an atonement, a substitution death penalty. So what had the animal done wrong? Absolutely nothing. And that's the point. The animal did nothing wrong but died as a substitute for human sin. God connecting the shedding of innocent blood with the giving of life to a guilty person. In the Old Testament, the life of an animal was offered in exchange for the life of the sinner. But those sacrifices were only a temporary solution, pointing towards the ultimate sacrifice that would end all other sacrifices, that being Jesus. So let's return to Exodus 12, the passage about the first Passover. By this point in history, the Israelites had been living in Egypt for over 400 years. What began as a time of favor under Joseph had turned into harsh slavery. They were confined to the area of Goshen, east of the Nile Delta. And in Exodus 2, God heard their cries of despair and remembered his promise to Abraham, their forefather. Now was the time for the rescue, to bring them home. God would give them their own land, Israel, a land of milk and honey, symbolic of lush heavenly blessing. God called Moses, at that stage, a very young 80-year-old. I say that because I'm 80. But yes, he was 80 years old, a shepherd in the wilderness. Moses and his brother Aaron were commissioned by God to confront Pharaoh and demand release of the Hebrew people. Pharaoh refused. So God sent 10 plagues to teach Pharaoh God's supremacy over the false gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And in this passage, we come to the 10th plague, the most severe devastation. But this final plague was different.